welcome back to Homeland Terraining. I'm Jade.
Hi, I'm Leslie.
And we're a variety show, changes topics every week. And this week, we're back 2024. New year, same us, same thing.
Same podcast.
Same bitches.
And we are back with a thoughtful moment with some regular.
I think now it's the regulars.
Yeah.
One of our favorite.
Friends at a distance.
Friends that I would love to have around me, but friends are too far for me.
Friends that I would like to hang out with.
Yeah, you ever have those friends in not friends in high school, but people that you knew that you were friends with that were friends with people in high school? You're like, I wish I could be friends.
Oh, yeah. And I'm it'd be cool to kind of just be in their space.
Never happened.
Never.
That's how they make us feel.
No, they're really, really cool. It's cool to see people that you connect with online.
Yeah.
And see them live their life and, like, cheer them on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of just, like, in the, being like, oh, that's so cool that they're doing this. I don't know. I now get why having Tumblr mutuals, like, a lot of them is really cool. Or having people that you meet online is cool.
Oh, for sure. Because
I have a handful of people.
Yeah.
I have
a few, too. But this is interesting because we met only through podcasts.
Yes.
Like, as fans.
As.
Connecting together.
Yes. As, professionals, side hustlers, podcast hustlers.
Yeah, they're definitely hustlers. but we're here with Thanks for Your Concern.
Go check them out.
Thanks for Your Concern podcast. Love them. They're great. And there's two of them, just like us.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, why not break them up?
Yeah.
So we decided to interview each co-host separately, and this is the one with Ella, and we're going to get into some pretty good convos with her.
You know what? She, other than myself, has a lot of wisdom.
Oh, my God.
Like,
you know this girl goes to therapy. She goes to therapy. She is working on herself.
Something
I need
to do.
A girl, like, inspirational. Because even the things that she says, like, on the pod, you know, I genuinely want to be like that, but I'm just so, like, you know when you hear good advice, but then you're like, I'm not going
to
do it.
You're resistant to it because it feels weird. But,
you
know, I genuinely enjoyed our conversation. She's really unbothered, but gives really good answers to, like, the questions that we had. And it kind of makes me look at the way that I see the world and the way that I would want to see the world. And she kind of has that point of view where she's like, you know, none of my business. If you're happy, go ahead. And it's like, she means it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I hope you all enjoy this conversation because we were lucky enough to catch her. She's a busy gal. And we hit on good topics, you know?
Yeah. She was extremely patient with us. Ella, if you're listening, thank you so much. We're chaotic. And thank you so much. I don't know what it is about Leslie and scheduling the most important things before our interviews.
Oh,
but,
my gosh.
And so scheduling true. It 20 miles away.
That's so true.
She's like, I'm going to go do my oil change in San Diego. I'll be back. Like, what? Like, are you fucking crazy?
Listen, when y'all listen to our catch up in the future, you'll understand, like, the type of person that I am. And I get shit done.
Crazy.
And unfortunate events happen sometimes. But, yes, she was super patient. Very flexible, and I'm really thankful for people like Ella.
And hopefully we'll see you when we hit up the Washington circuit.
Little Seattle, yeah.
Because I'm planning a trip.
Good for you.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm going by myself.
You seem like you were planning, so I was like, okay. No, we'll hit you up one more
time. All right, let's get into it.
Bye.
We are here with one half of a podcast, which I'm excited to because we never got to know these girls separately. You know, we talked about a movie.
It's about time.
And what was our episode about on their podcast?
We talked about, we weren't good candidates for this, but we talked about, like, hookup culture, dating culture, something like that. And I was like, actually, I've never done it. I was like, I'm sorry. Actually, I should have gotten someone else to chime in. But we kind of talked about just the culture and the apps and all of that. And we realized that I'm virgin, basically. So
allegedly. And we thought it'd be a good opportunity to interview these lovely ladies separately. And today we have Ella from
Ella.
Thanks for Your Concern.
Hello. I am so excited to be here. I'm super excited to talk to y'all. It's been a minute.
I know. I was looking it up because apparently our podcast has an IMBD page, which I'm like, okay, IMBD, like, all right. It turns out we posted that episode.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah, July 2021.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Like 2 years.
July 21st.
Yeah, you know, y'all have a lot of episodes too, so I'm sure you get this a lot when, you know, you talk to someone and you'll talk about your podcast and they'll go look at it and they're like, oh my God, you guys have 160 episodes? That's insane. And so it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but, you know, it has been a while that we've been doing this. It's so exciting.
I felt like, oh, like we kind of chatted with them not that long ago, but 2 years is long.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years is like, okay, bitch, like that happened 2 years. But we really appreciate you making the time to chat with us. We've been looking forward to just getting your POV on a few things. Specifically, a question that we felt that you were a really good candidate for because you're an artist.
You make art.
Thank you, I guess. That's so weird to say, but yes.
Don't sell yourself short.
Wait, really quick, let's address that. So like do you consider like your comedy like an art or like the podcast? You don't see yourself as an artist?
I do when I think about it, but I feel like both are kind of not like a traditional, I think when people think artist, they think visual art. And I don't think I do create something out of nothing. You know, there's nothing on a page and then I write and there's something. But yeah, I sometimes have a hard time saying that I'm an artist because I feel like I think of like Vincent van Gogh or visual art. Mm-hmm. So I always call Berenice an artist because she is like an incredible artist when it comes to like drawing and painting and things like that. So yeah, I sometimes struggle with identifying as an artist.
Well, I think you have any right that she does to call yourself an artist because if anything, like anyone can compare mediums and say like, okay, can you put together a dress? Well, can you go up on stage and like make people laugh? Like people always say like, oh, you're so funny, you should be a comedian. Like, you know what, I should, but I don't think
you should.
I can't make a joke. Because I always, like, fantasize about being on RuPaul's Drag Race, and I always think about, like, the roast and stuff, and, like, I just, I'm, like, can't think of a joke. Like, I just, I don't know.
Ella will help you. She will.
I'm literally the roast queen.
We see you as an artist. We see both you and Bennett as artists, and we just think it's cool, and then we just say, oh, and they have their podcast as an extra form of art that they're kind of producing and putting out there into the world. But I agree with you, Ella. I think the world is used to the visuals, but let me tell you, people are artists. If they can create something, you can think it, you can imagine it, and then you make something with it. So very cool that you're open to talking with us because you're an artist about art versus the artist. So this question, me and Jay talk a lot about this because I will find myself conflicted, especially now in modern day, today, where you have a lot of stuff going on and people have platforms who are artists, whatever, and will voice their opinions and their POVs. And then I'm like, ooh, can I still kind of listen to this music? Can I still support this individual? Can I still go buy their stuff or whatever? Because they have this stance that kind of really conflicts with like who I am as a person, like my ethics and my morals. And so we've talked to people that have told us like, yeah, you know, like the art is separate from the artist because the art is something that is out in the world and people will interpret it and see what they want to. So it doesn't belong to the artist anymore. And then I believe you can't
because you're supporting them financially
and everything's connected.
Yeah.
And everything's connected. So we really want to get like your POV on that. Have you thought about that? Is this conversations that you've had before? And what do you have to say about that?
Okay, so honestly, here's the thing. I'll say art versus the artist. I feel like I have a toe in both ponds. But the thing is I think as being a comedian and being around comedians, whenever there is like a really famous comedian that gets like outed for doing something super shitty, I feel like I mean, I'm always err on the side of the victim, but I'm always like, yeah, that makes sense. Why? Because they're just human beings that are shitty and people are shitty in general. So it's like whenever it comes out that an artist does something or says something shitty, for me, I'm like, well, that checks because they're a human being and most human beings are shit. So no, it never really surprises me when someone has a bad take. But then there's people that really have like really bad takes, and then I'm like, oh my god, wow, like I cannot believe you said that online. Yeah. I cannot believe you didn't think you're about to get eaten the fuck up for that. But yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Because like I'll say like from my experience with like Lana, like when she went through her whole like I love Latin people and I'm not racist thing, and like I kind of like her music didn't really feel the same way to me because like, I don't know, the whole illusion, I was like living for my Latin queen Lana. Like I was living for Cubano como yo, like bitch, I was tropical. And then like her music, like after she kind of, the illusion was like broken for me, I kind of like didn't really connect with her songs anymore, because then I just remembered like, oh yeah, this is just Elizabeth Grant who went to boarding school in New York and upper East Side or wherever they call it. And then, like, Leslie's partner was, like, saying how she, like, wants to listen to Lana now. I'm going to call her out. Now she's like, is it safe to listen to Lana now? And, you know, Lana does come up on my thing. Yes, she does. And do I unlike some songs? Yes. But I feel like I'm not doing it out of principle. I'm just doing it like, okay, yeah, my pussy does taste like Pepsi Cola, but, like, kind of don't like the rest of the song. You know what I mean? Or, like, things like that. I just kind of just don't. And then like fucking have on the opposite side, Doja, who I just love, Planet Her, like just changed my life when it came out. And then she's over here being like, you're dumb as fuck if you like that album, you dumbass. And then fucking Worshiping the Devil. And like, well, I don't really care about that, but. What? Because her whole she-devil. She a devil. Like, of course, her posting her Nazi thing. So
yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, but then like forgetting about that she was in like the chat rooms and stuff. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just hard because I don't shut up. I just don't. I'm conflicted.
Yeah,
and I'd like to open up the floor for conversation.
Yeah,
well, and I'd like someone on my side, Ella, please.
I think that it's really hard, but I feel like there's this quote that has to do with mostly environmentalism, where there's like no conscious consumption under capitalism. Mm. Like, if you think about it, no matter which artist you support, they probably have one bad take. Some have more than that, so it's really hard. And I also kind of, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, like, who would be canceled today that just like died before they could see it, you know? Like, I don't think anyone would listen to Frank Sinatra. Like, Frank Sinatra would be so canceled, like so beyond canceled. But because he died before the internet or before cancel culture, like people still revere and listen to his music. So I don't know. That's just something that I think about.
That is true. Like it's because you also think like you're put in positions where like you get corrupt. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you have endless supply of money. You have a crew of yes people, like literally pretty much waiting on you hand and foot, giving you anything you'd like. Like, I just feel like something is to arise out of that. You know what I mean? And I feel like going unchecked, like, cause I feel like my growth has been by being checked by people, by administrations, things like that, where you kind of have to reel yourself back. But what do you do if nobody rules you back? Then you just continue making these choices and just being a bad person because you don't know better. I don't know. It's like inevitable.
I don't know. I guess that's kind of tough. I do agree with that quote that Ella mentioned, because it's like, even us, right? Like, we can be against capitalism, but we benefit from it every single day. And we'll continue to until, I don't know, communism comes through. And so I guess I like where I always get conflicted is like the moral compass, like your ethos. And it's like, I may have a bad take too, but I also like try to stand on the right side of history for most things based off like my experience and my POV of like how I've lived my life and my identities and what makes who I am. So that's why I have a hard time with like Doja Cat, for example, where it's like, girl, like, you're a woman of color, you have a huge fan base, some of them really, really young, and you're just out here lollygagging. You mentioned something that she's just trolling because it's funny. But it's like,
and it hits close to home because it's like there's active genocide happening now, but then you wear the shirt of like a Nazi who you bought it from his website, and it's like, okay, so fuck like the millions of people that died. When it just, it's just about, you know, it leaves a sour taste because it's like, now there's a genocide happening. The press is, being the oppressor. So that's why I'm like trying to like, okay, I don't have to listen to Planet Her. Like, I'm good, love. Like, I'm good. That's why.
But you were never a fan, though.
I really liked that album. I genuinely was like, oh, wait. Like, I really, really love this album. And, like, we love to see, like, a South African, like, mixed girl do her thing. She's young. Like, a lot of people don't take her seriously. Mm-hmm. But where was the point where she was like, I'm just going to go apeshit? And has she always been like this?
Yeah. That's what I was telling Leslie, is that, like, Doja made her whole career from being a troll. So it's like, can we blame a troll for trolling?
I mean, so I have like a, I have a lot of empathy for people who like don't know better, because I feel like I have been given a huge like head start in the race when it comes to kind of having empathy for other human beings, as well as having like a really interesting perspective of the world at large, specifically when you're talking about kind of like what's happening in Palestine right now. This is sometimes, I think for a lot of people, this is mm-hmm. the first time they're hearing about this. They have had no kind of eye on this, when personally I have literally known about the occupation. I kind of want to say for the past 20 years, and I like kind of had to fact check myself on that by calling up my dad to make sure that like that's mm-hmm. really what happened. But it's just kind of one of these examples where I went to like an alternative school, super hippy dippy school. Mm-hmm. Like literally, I can't even imagine what some conservatives would have thought of my education. I know they'd be like, this is crazy, you know, because of the things that I was taught. And so I have empathy for people that don't know better. Mm-hmm. But I think where I draw the line is like when it's causing active harm. And I do believe that like Doja supporting those people give the people some validity and power that I don't believe they should have.
Mm-hmm. And to touch on exactly what you're saying, Ella, because Jay also told me, and I didn't know this, but I'm a big fan of Desmond Tutu.
I've actually met him twice.
Yeah.
Did we listen to his teachings? Like, were we in the circle and he was like preaching, and, you know, he's very much, you know, a martyr, and did you get the vibe that's like, gosh, like I need to forgive everyone? Because you talk a lot about empathy, and I think that's great. And you've talked about that in your episodes as well, where you kind of give people like not necessarily the benefit of the doubt, but there's room for growth, right? And you talked about it in your episode of cancel culture, you know, like knowing that I could probably get canceled. You know that you might get canceled because you said something that you just didn't know better. And so listening to that episode that you guys had, I was like, that's true. Like, if we go back to my Facebook memories of 10 years ago,
yeah.
I was saying some things, I don't know what behooved me mm-hmm. at all. But, like, I'm curious about that. And also, was it, like, mixed with the alternative teachings that you had, and then just kind of growing up in Washington, Seattle? And, I mean,
yeah, that's a hippie place. It's kind of
fluid there, right? Or...
yeah, because you also mentioned in your podcast that you met Desmond at church, right?
Yeah.
The church that you attended.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so interesting. And I told Leslie that. I was like, dude, didn't we talk about him in our – I think we had a podcast episode about him.
Yeah, his featured book. The book, his forgiveness book.
Yeah.
Changed my life.
Yeah. So that's so interesting. We kind of want to touch on that.
Yeah. So basically, I'm no longer – a believer. I don't know. I don't even know like how to say that really, but you would never like, I was forced to go to church like 3 days a week for my entire life. Thank goodness. Yeah. I was there at least 3 days a week. Thank goodness. My church is so progressive, like so beyond progressive. So growing up, the reason why Desmond Tutu came to our church is because our pastor was like a gay South African man who knew him personally. So that's why like he came to my church. And because my family's literally been going to the same church for 50 years now, it was just, it's whatever. It's a very affluent church. So speaking on Desmond Tutu, and it has that affected like how I see the world. Definitely just having like education about apartheid and other things that are going on in the world obviously like shapes how you think as a person. When it comes to empathy, I honestly hold a lot of empathy just because I just have lived a different life than other people. And so I just have a different perspective than other people. And I can't be mad at people for not having the exact same perspective that I do, you know? It's something that happens when you kind of get older, and something I've always thought about and really tripped me out is that like every single human being on this earth is as complex as I am, right? They have their same trauma, their same, they have socialization that makes them the person that they are today. And so I have a lot of empathy for them. Do I have, I mean, empathy doesn't mean that you can accept bad behavior, right? I can understand why people have bad behavior and I can feel for them, but like, it doesn't mean I have to accept it. Celebrities are weird because I don't know them personally. So I don't really know if they're apologetic or whether they're willing to grow. And I think it's different when you pull something from a celebrity or, and you know, a celebrity's past, like something they did 10 years ago versus something they're doing currently today.
Wow, I really like that point of view. Yeah, because I think when we try to reel ourselves back in, right, I can get heated in the moment and I can say like, I will absolutely not forgive this person. But kind of taking what Ella is saying is like, you do have to humanize and realize that that person is just as complex, which is really difficult to do. I struggle with it because for me, you know, it's like sometimes there's a right and wrong, but I also know that there's sometimes a gray area because of just like their experience, what they've lived, what they've grew up knowing, what they know now, and just how society has shaped this individual. But I do like the point that you're making, which is like, yeah, I guess if someone said something, I don't know, 10 years ago, it's like, like, what are they doing now? Like, did they learn from it? Because I've learned, and there's certain things I don't say anymore. And I also would hope that people would have the same type of empathy or openness with me, because then it's like, I must do the same. Like, I must uphold that same standard to allow people to grow and learn and change their minds, because people can change. People are malleable, and we can, we can be flexible if I think we're given the opportunity.
I think just for me, the issue is like, I feel like in this age of social media, everyone wants to be like, I heard this word used, like a moral arbitrator, like kind of like judging, like, are you a good person based off of things that you like and or things that you say? Like, even like with the Palestine thing, I was like telling Leslie, like, I see people posting about it and I'd like to post about it, but also it's kind of like, I don't normally post about things like that. I don't normally do that. So then I feel like, okay, everyone else is doing it, so like, let me jump in when like, I don't know the 20 year history that Palestine has. I mean, I had an idea because I think Leslie has said it before. And apparently my friend Casey, who's been to Palestine a bunch of times, I apparently didn't listen to him talking that I didn't know, but like, I always feel weird because it's just like, okay, so what, I'm just going to say something just so people think like, oh yeah, he's, that guy's woke, like he's cool, when it's like in reality it's like, what's a post really doing for me? Well, I don't know.
I agree. You know? When the Black Lives Matters
the black picture or the black,
yeah, I didn't people, like, do that, like, yeah. I didn't do that. Why is it? Because I don't support it? No, I was at the, like, I was at multiple marches, spending multiple days protesting. Do I need to post that on Instagram? Not really. Like, I just don't feel like that's necessary. I also haven't posted about Israel-Palestine, just mostly because, honestly, who gives a fuck what I think? I just don't feel like I am a part of the group who is being oppressed. So I don't feel like it, my opinion matters or my feelings about it matter. That's how I feel on a personal level. Everybody's different. Like, I don't, you know, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, and I also think that it's hard to choose, like, what you do consume. And I honestly feel like you can, like, going back to, like, the art versus the artist, I feel like if you like art from people that have bad points of view, I don't think you're a bad person. But, yeah, I don't know if you should continue to support them and give them your dollarinos either.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I'll say with like Kanye,
because
it always comes up. My Beautiful Dark Fantasy.
Yeah.
That album, he had every person you can think of it, which is why it's so great. But Jay calls me out for this because he's like, I know you still listen to Kanye. I was like, I actually don't. Like, I don't listen to anything new he's come out with. He represents someone when I was younger that I thoroughly thought, like, this is a really good production. He's, I'm not going to call him a genius. I was like, but he's very much different than, you know, kind of this rap and hip hop that we're seeing. So to see him, you know, kind of derail, and then it's very layered, very layered. But I'm not going to go and listen to anything new that he's coming out with. And I'm not going to go by his Yeezys and anything, because I've decided, like, no, he has kind of shown multiple times things that I disagree with, things, how he's handled things publicly, that, you know, I can't give him any more of my streams, and I can't give him any more of my money. But do I still think My Beautiful Dark Fantasy is a beautiful album? Yes. And that's like, what kind of person does that make me? You know, does it make me a hypocrite? Does it make me a bad person? Does it make me like, oh, she can't decide? Or Ella said it, does it just make me a complex person?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess, like, I always just, I don't know. I just want to enjoy things. And it's just hard to, because, like, so many things are tainted. Like, I don't know what movie it is, but I was watching one movie that I really liked. And, like, I saw the beginning intro, and the first thing that comes up is the Weinstein Company. And I was like, great. So now this fucking movie that I love is fucking over here. Or even you mentioned, like, how the Doja thing with, like, Dr. Luke. And, yeah. Like, yeah, Dr. Luke also produced Kesha's albums, which I grew up with. Does that mean I'm not allowed to, like, listen to those either? Like, now I need to see who he's worked with in order to, like, listen to the music. And it's just, I don't know, like, especially, like, when you talk about Palestine and things like that, like, there's just so much. And even, like, people are like, don't eat too many carbs because then you'll get a heart attack and die. Or this leads, red 14 or red 40 leads to cancer. So it's like, I feel like there's so many just isms that we just always have to keep aware of, that it's just like, I don't know if I'm personally affected by it every day. You know what I mean? That it's just like, I don't know if, like, by me listening to Doja Cat, like, I just killed, like, five innocent families that were targeted because she wore a t-shirt. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know how my personal decisions actually affect the world at large. You know, even with, like, the Palestine thing, okay, I can post about it, but guess what? Elections are coming up, and I know for damn sure I'm not voting for Trump.
Yeah.
So what? I vote for Biden, who's actively trying to also, like, stop Palestine from being a thing. So what? So now I'm not supposed to vote? Or I don't know. I post and then it's go vote anyway. I don't know. It's just, I just want to enjoy things. I wanted to go back, like, the old times. Make America great again.
I think you should just take what your intentions are and do the best that you can. I think that, I mean, for me personally, I am a somewhat conscious consumer, but also I'm mentally ill. So there's sometimes where I'm not that critical about what the fuck I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's too many choices, and you can get overloaded. And, like, this is just something that, like, I deal with, is just having, like, a decision fatigue about not knowing, like, what is right. And it's kind of, you have to just decide to do make the best choices with the information that you have. And honestly, that there's no person in this world who you is going to be, like, the perfect person for you to support, you know, like, and I was talking with my roommate about this, but I was like, dude, like, I think it's incredible that Taylor Swift has, like, gone on for this long without, like, a serious scandal, which is in which I feel like I could not support her anymore. But I literally, it would break my heart if anything ever happens that I can't support her anymore, you know? But there's just no perfect person, I feel like. And there's always people that have skeletons in their closet. So I think that's why some people have, like, a larger fall from grace than others, is because if they've built a platform on being, like, a perfect person, and then people find out that they're not, people come at them 10 times harder than people who have already stated that they're assholes and don't pretend not to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually very true. But Ella, do you think that, for example, like you mentioned just being a conscious consumer, but do you also believe, because I kind of see it this way, is like you can also choose, like you can be picky. And what I mean by that is like there's certain things for me that are like hard no's. And the reason that I absolutely just can't support Kanye is because he's a harasser of women and out here just like uses women. I mean, there's whole thing, right? I'm a lover of women, you know, romantically.
You know, sexually, you're gay.
But also like from a perspective, like I just want women to thrive. Mm-hmm. So I'm really passionate about the well-being of women, which is why like with R. Kelly, I was like, absolutely not. It's like a hard line for me. So then when Lizzo comes out and, you know, like supposedly fat shames women, I'm like, well, gosh, that is fucked up. But for me, it's like actual physical sexual harassment and control that, you know, women experience every day and that I could potentially experience, that it's just like an absolute no for me. Mm-hmm. So like, do I see Lizzo as bad as Kanye and R. Kelly or other women that have, you know, like this whole Jeffrey Epstein, that woman that helped him?
Ghislaine Maxwell. Round,
yes. Yeah. Yeah, like Maxwell or whatever. I forgot what her name is. Yes. Yes. But you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like, oh, you actively helped create a ring of sex trafficking with minors, mm-hmm. young minors. So for me, sometimes I think like people choose, I think, based off like what's important to you. There's some people that, you know, really don't care, I guess, that Kanye, you know, is out here being crazy. So they're like, I'm going to support this man to learn. But if he was to be, I don't know, blatantly homophobic or saying like, I don't know, gay sex is ugly, maybe like his gay, you know, supporters would be like, oh, that draws the line because like I'm gay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I often think about that if people are kind of just choosy and picky, or, you know, people who are like blatantly racist and like, well, I'm white. Mm-hmm. We don't have to cancel them. Mm-hmm. But then it's like they go murder children. It's like, oh, okay. You know, I'm anti-abortion. Like, they, you know, I can't support that. I don't know. I think about that.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, everyone's just connected in some way, right? Because, yeah. Like, even if we, like, talk about, like, some people that do something shitty and then someone that we support supports them, then you're like, God damn, bitch. Like, why do you have to say anything about this person, you know? Like, just be quiet. But I get it. You know, sometimes you're friends with someone and you see a different side, right? Like, there's a lot of people that comment on these people that are harassers that are end up not. That have the people defending, like, that's not my experience with them, so I don't know what that means, where it's just like, girl, just come on. Because like, there's a lot of people that do, like, even like with like Chris Brown, right, with like Kelly and stuff, it's just like, girl, like, just do you not read what happened? Like, we're not talking about Rihanna anymore, like, or we're not even talking about Frank Ocean anymore, bitch. Like, yeah. We've moved on from all of those things, you know? So I don't know. And Ella, like, as a comedian, do you ever like think about this when you're curating your jokes? Because like, I don't know. You said you're the roast. You're the roast master, and like, I love roasts. Like, I've been going through the rabbit hole of like the Comedy Central roast because I love fucked up jokes. I love jokes that are like edgy, that are uncalled for. Obviously, like, there's the thin line of like, if you're just making a joke, if the joke is that they're gay, that's kind of like not funny. But I love an edgy joke. Like, I was watching, I forgot whose roast, it was Justin Bieber or Joan, where they had Pete Davidson, and they made so many jokes about Pete's dad who died at 9/11, dude. And it was like fucked up, but he was laughing. And it was like those type of jokes that's like very like take you to the left turn that like is like kind of funny. And I feel like roasts tend to be just problematic because of you're roasting them. You're actively making fun of someone. That, Ella, do you ever think about that? Like, where is your edge and your moral compass? Like, how do those work together? Or are you just not an edge queen? You don't like edging.
Well, here's the thing. So when it comes to roast, and especially like when you're talking about the things that people said about Pete Davidson, like in that situation, he signed up for it. He knew it was going down. He was like giving it, and he also was receiving shit, right? And so any roasts that I have done have been like a mutual agreement that this is what's going down, right? So I think it's a little bit different. Personally, when I first started getting into comedy, I you would like bring your friends, right? I'm recruiting my friends to come see my comedy. And I remember this person who I was white and made a joke about Asian people. And my friend was Asian. And she was like, that sucks. Like, that's not funny, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to her about it. And she was like, it just really sucks when you're like going to have fun. And then someone makes a joke and then the room's laughing at you and like you didn't sign up for it, right? And I've always kept that in perspective. I think for me, I make very, very edgy jokes, very edgy, very risque. I've been told that my jokes are too dirty, but I'm joking about myself, so it's totally different. Like, you know, I'm living on the edge of like, how vulnerable do I want to be, or like, how do I want to approach something that's a little bit of a touchy subject because other people have experienced it? And that's what's touchy about it. Not that like, let me see how far I can push into an ism, you know, while still being funny. I don't really do that. And I will say that I have often said when it comes to comedy, you can joke about anything as long as it's funny. And I also often, a joke is a setup and a punchline. And sometimes when someone makes a joke, I'm like, so what's the punchline? The punchline is that they're gay. The punchline is that they're black. To me, that's not a good punchline. So I have, there's certain comedians that I don't fuck with. And it's because I just don't like kind of them punching below the belt and making fun of people who are oppressed and are honestly facing violence because of their identity. I don't think that's fucking funny, but there's other people that do. And am I the person who gets to determine who's what's funny and what's not? No, but I am gonna decide what I consume and what I vibe with. I'm not gonna tell someone their joke is funny if I don't think their joke is fucking funny. I think a lot of people find me a little bit combative because I can be like, that's a fucked up joke, it's not funny, FYI. And that can turn a lot of people off, and people call me, I'm a fucking bitch, but I'll be a fucking bitch because I'm not going to sit in a room and just like let you think that what you said was funny when it's fucking not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just hate it how comedians just kind of turn it all like, oh, we can't say nothing anymore. It's like, I don't think it's like you can't say nothing. It's just like some of the things you've been saying is like not really funny. Like they're just like weirdly racist. That's like, I guess back then, I guess we did find funny, but now it's just like, yeah, where is the creativity in the joke, right? Where is that left and right quick turn that you're like unexpected, right? That's what makes a joke funny, is that it's unexpected. Because even I'm a big fan of Bianca Del Rio, and I went to her comedy show, and it was like kind of like problematic, obviously, but that's like her shtick, is that she is like very, I think it's called the problematic tour or something. I don't know what it's called. Unsanitized is what she called it. And it was like, there's just some like just kind of Asian jokes that were kind of like, okay, this was like 2000, like why are we still making this joke? But it didn't make me be like, oh, I don't fuck with this comedian anymore, you know? And I don't know, I feel like it's hard to always take to account like who you're making fun of in the room, because like, do you think about that when you're crafting a joke?
I've never written a joke where I'm afraid of who's in the room, except when it's my fucking dad and mom, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, yeah. I don't think about, oh, is this person going to be in the room? I assume they're going to be there, so it better be fucking funny. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just what it is. I mean, literally, my pet peeve is people saying, you can't say anything anymore. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. I've literally heard lots of comedians say lots of things. The thing is you... Now there's a dialogue, right? You can't just say shit and then not expect someone to say something back. You can't post something online and expect people not to have opinions, right? Yeah. And honestly, maybe I have a different perspective because like I have my podcast that's online. The amount of hate I get for existing makes oh my God, like people are so fucking mean, you know? And I feel like it has kind of made me have so much less sympathy for people saying that you can't say anything online. Cause it's like, I'll say something positive or a hee hee ha ha, And a guy will be in my comments like, you're fucking ugly. Like, I can't believe you said that, you know, like literally like crazy shit like that. Like, I think it's almost like a probably an everyday occurrence where someone is telling me my opinion is shit based on how I look. So I have no sympathy for, like, it's mostly white, cis, straight male comedians saying they can't say anything. And it's like, no, they're commenting on what you said. Like, you should be thankful that they are just commenting on your shit opinion instead of telling you that you're an ugly human being who should kill themselves, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that is just so crazy how people get so bold to, like, just, like, imagine just, like, looking at something and just being, I need to tell them what I feel. Like, that is just, like, the craziest thing. Like we don't get any, well, you get, because you guys put your face out there, right? You put out your clips and stuff, so I'm sure that opens it up. Like, people ignore us. Which I guess for the most part, it's probably a good thing. But I see things like that with other people, and I just always wonder, like, why do you have to say that? Like, why can't you just, like, keep it to yourself? And then vice versa, these are some of also people that are mad that we can't say anything while they're also saying whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the thing that I find, I don't know, it's just really interesting because I feel like it happens to me where I feel like the first thing that a man wants to do to a woman is, like, bring her down to the ground, you know? Mm-hmm. And the easiest way they think to do that is to, like, call me ugly. Like, they think that's going to hurt me the most. But, dude, I know what my exes look like, all right? Like, literally, my boyfriend is so, like, so hot. It's insane. I've dated models, everything, and not to give that validity, but, like, I just mean, like, I know I'm not ugly. Like, like, you're literally making fun of the wrong one because I'm overly confident, you know? But what I do hate is that, like, I see people leave these comments and then, you know, of course, the girlies are like, oh my God, she's so pretty. What the fuck are you talking about? I hate leaving those comments there because I don't want other people to see that and be like, oh my God, if she's ugly, then what the fuck am I, you know?
Yeah, no, that's fucked up.
Yeah. I hate men. I do. I totally agree with what Elle is saying. I think the commenting on someone's appearance or anything like that is, like, so one-dimensional. And so men saying, like, oh, I'm really going to get her. Like, she's probably going to go home and cry and feel like she can't get anyone. And it's like, actually, like, I have the hottest man. What?
Yeah. It's just, like, it's one of those things and, like, it is what it is. But that's why I, like, when I hear people say, like, oh, you can't say anything, I'm like, you can actually, and you continue to do it. You just are complaining about it, which is so annoying. And then it's also like dig deeper, dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are only saying things about people who are bringing other people down, you know? Mm-hmm. We're not talking about, like, uplifting jokes. We're talking about jokes where you're just making fun of a big group of people, and that big group of people has something to say about it. Like, don't be surprised.
Yeah,
that's true. I feel like you can't be surprised if you're gonna go out and publicly say something. And as you mentioned, it's like, now with media, it's like, someone is not going to think the same as you. Yeah. Like, someone's going to be like, actually, I was fucked up, or actually, I don't agree with that. I don't know. I'm not a good comedian. I'm funny a little bit, but nothing like that I could be out here and monetize it or anything like
that. Yeah, do you even tell any jokes?
No.
Yeah, you don't.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
no,
I don't think you've ever made a crowd laugh ever.
I'm never going to try.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Yeah. Like, I know my lane.
Yeah. So let's talk about your lane. So I kind of want to briefly talk about DJing because I'm curious about what even inspired you to want to do something else creative. I'm sure that you have some sort of connection to music. I don't know, because you don't really mention EDM music like Berenice does, but she also is not always like, oh, I like this DJ, so she goes to raves. Like, is that also your type of music, or how did you get into wanting to start experimenting with other forms of art?
Okay, so I'll tell you right now, I am ADHD to, like, the max extreme, so I'm already over my DJ era, okay? I'll probably come back to it at some point, but honestly, I've just been, like, you know, I literally, like, if you go around my house, like, you'll look at every forgotten hobby that I've had. Like, I was really into aquascaping for, like, 2 weeks.
Me too.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's so done. Funny. That's over with. I was really into DJing for, like, 2 weeks. That's done.
Oh my God.
recently I'm trying to make a pop album. I'll probably be over that. So, you know, when I like struggle with seeing like, oh, I'm an artist, I think it's because I'm just not good at anything, because I like give up before, or I get bored before I get good at things. But I really do love music. I feel like I love EDM music, but I love all music. And I've always wanted to be like a girls DJ. I think something that just has not sat with me very well in the past and continues to make me feel like a little icky is that when you think about EDM music specifically and like EDM DJs, they're not sourcing their own music, right? They're like using other people's music. And you'll have DJs who are like white men who only play like music made by Black people, right?
Yeah.
And Diplo. The reason why I have difficulties with that is because there aren't, it's not like, it's one of those spaces that is still predominantly white males. It's getting a little bit better. I'm seeing more females on the list. I'm seeing more people of color on the on lineups, but still predominantly white dudes. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to a show and you listen to music and you're like, damn, like I really wish this was a Black artist celebrating Black musicians instead of a white artist celebrating Black musicians. I don't know. It just hasn't sat right with me. And so like for me being like a person of color and a woman, I've always just wanted to DJ and like people be like, oh wow, like I see myself in her, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah, you should do it.
I know.
You should
yeah.
too.
Yeah, you should do it. I 100% agree with you. I think that the scene is a little, it's not as good or better as I think we would want it to as women. But also finding out like really early on about like all these DJs I used to like, and I was like, oh, like they had a woman helping. Like you have like MIA that helps Diplo a lot. You have Aluna who helps everyone out here and is like a great DJ, great songwriter, producer. And looking at them, they're always women of color. And you're just like, damn, like why aren't they the ones, you know, like up there DJing? And sometimes they don't even get credit or featured on the song. Mm-hmm. So when I learned more about that, like music history and especially the EDM scene, I was like, man, it would be so cool if I could be like a girl DJ, because like I'm a girl and I'd be like out here mixing and stuff. But I don't know. I don't have ADHD, so I something's wrong with me.
Because you have something.
And something's fucked up with me yeah. because I'm like, I don't know. The amount of time that I know it takes to like teach yourself how to DJ, like being self-taught and all of that is a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I guess I wonder if I don't want it enough because I don't make time for it, you know, like trying to teach myself and being like, okay, you have to mix this and I have to do this. I played around with it a little bit once I got my Mac, which was the reason I got a Mac, because I did a little research. And I was like, turns out if you have a Mac, you're good to go.
Yeah.
But then, you know, playing around with like the systems that you would need and all that, I was like, oh shit, like it could be a little bit expensive. And I was like, maybe I should like self-teach myself like the keyboard first. I was like, oh bitch, I better go buy a keyboard. And then I derailed and I was like, oh, like, I don't know why I thought a concept is easy at first, but then of course not, because in order to be a DJ, like it is a process.
Yeah.
You have to know music very, very well. You have to know when to transition. You have to know if you're going to put drops in there or not, and you create an experience. And that's what I've learned from the girl DJs that I like.
Okay.
And what they, and the mixes that they put out. So I don't know. For me, I don't know if I like, I'll try it, but in another life, maybe.
Yeah.
I think what you're talking about and something that I personally struggle with is this quote where when you first begin with something, you're going to have a taste that like laps your ability, meaning that your taste for whatever medium you're trying to start is better than what you can currently produce. And that's something that I really have been struggling with content creation, just making videos and stuff like that, where it's like, I will try to make a video and then I'm like, I hate this. And then I just never put it out. And I'm trying to push myself to just put it out anyways, and then just get better from repetition. And that's something that I've always struggled with as an artist, where it's like, I don't think I'm good enough for other people to see. And that's too real. Yeah. And with the podcast, I didn't know shit starting this. I didn't know anything. And I mean, me and Berenice, I kind of joke about how if we would give anybody advice, we'd say start, because we invested like literally like probably $1,000 into equipment that we really didn't need, but we didn't feel like we could start without. Mm-hmm. And I remember us going into a guitar center and being like, I think this is what we need. And this guy just like looking at us like, what are you trying to do? He was like, you could do that, but that would be difficult. So you could do it this way. And he basically saved us like $500 and saved us a lot of time and a lot of energy. But now that I've been doing the podcast for like 3 years, babes, I literally feel like an audio engineer. I feel like I could edit other people's podcasts. I'm a whiz, you know, and a process that used to take me legitimately, I was editing for like 6 hours an episode when we started. Now I can legit go from start to finish in an hour. And that includes producing a video for YouTube and doing this. And now I feel like really proud of my abilities. But, you know, I would just recommend to people like this idea of you not wanting it enough. I think about that with comedy like a lot. Mm. The podcast is really the only thing where I feel like I want it badly enough. Mm. And it's one of those things with comedy. I feel like it's because, I mean, now that I'm sober, my life is just set up in a way that makes going out and doing shows really difficult, mm-hmm. you know, because I have to get up and go to work and I have to pay bills. And I think that's something else I struggle with myself as saying that I'm an artist, because it's like, it's not producing enough income for me to feel like that's what I am, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That is, oh my God. Like so such a good like POV. And I kind of want to get a little bit into that, is that what is it about the comedy? Like, is it that like you want to do like these like every show you possibly can? Because I feel like even going out there and doing it itself is like your way of producing. Because as often as you put out an episode, podcast episode, do you also do comedy?
No, I mean, I'm in a different place. Like, obviously, like I've quit drinking like 6 months ago, mm-hmm. 7 months ago now, almost. And it's been a weird journey, and I kind of just had to take a step away from comedy. It's still something I love and still something that I'm always writing, mm-hmm. always writing. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things that I struggle with comedy is lack of control. You really have to have other people telling you that you're good to progress. Mm. And it's a little different than with podcasting. Like, I can put out my podcast every single week at the same time, and it doesn't matter. I don't have to rely on anyone else. Like, you know, I just put it out versus I need to network. And I've always had like a little bit of a social anxiety that makes networking really difficult. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I don't really want to talk to people. Like, I don't, you know, and I'm not in the place in my comedy career where I can be a raging bitch who just comes, works and leaves. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not the situation. Mm-hmm. And so I struggle with that.
Yeah, I feel like that too with music, because I feel like I have this like passion for music that I love. Like, all I can think about is music. I love singing all the time, but it's just like for me, it's always like the effort to put behind it, because you just always hear about these struggles and how people have to hustle. And like, I don't mind hustling, but also like, I'm 32, I have a full-time job, and it's just like, I don't know. Those plans for me just don't seem realistic sometimes, but I genuinely enjoy it. Like, I really do. It's just like getting that extra, I don't know, motivation. Because even the podcast, like, we're not making money off of this. We're just doing it for fun. I mean, I don't even know why we're doing it. We're just like, we're doing it for each other, for ourselves. And it's just, that's mostly it. And like, I don't know, I always think like, why can't I do that with music, right? Why can't I put something out? But I get social anxiety too. Like, that's why with Berenice, she's such an anomaly, because I could never, and I don't like to put myself in situations like that. And when you're a performer, you have to, like, you have to be extroverted. You have to be, because like you said, you can't just show up do your thing and then just leave, because that's not going to help your growth either, right? You need a network. You need people to like you, to want to invite you back, or cover for you, cover for them, for, you know, things like that. So that's how I always feel with my artistic journey. And the reason why I brought up the DJ thing is because I know Leslie has it in her. I'm just trying to dig it out. I want you to be creative, because that's, I think that's hard when you're not really, don't have the confidence to call yourself a creator when you create all the time, you know, and it doesn't have to be 500 likes on a painting that you made, right? It could just be kind of for yourself. And that's kind of how I am with my music. It's like, I'd love to start doing music, but it's like, I don't have a mic. I don't know how to make beats. I also don't want to do like these TikTok beats that are the same, like little snap clicks that they do. Like, I don't know. It's just very complicated. And I wish it was as simple as a podcast, because with us, we don't have much technology. I mean, we have our laptop and our mics, and I do the actual audio editing. So I try to clean up the audio the best I can, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. So, but I don't really think about that. But I feel like if I was like you guys putting out videos, TikToks, like I emotionally cannot do that. Like I physically and emotionally cannot put our content out like that, because I just am so scared. I'm so terrified. And, but to do this, that wasn't terrifying, which is a weird mindset that limits how we put ourselves in when some of our actions tend to show otherwise, right? Because some people might think talking on a podcast for an hour, mm-hmm. that's intimidating. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like not, you know?
I feel like for me, I think that people do just have limited energy resources. Like time is one of those fickle things that we all have the same amount of, but we just have different circumstances that lead us to having different usable times. You know, I think that I'm really over hustle and grind to no end culture. I did it for so long being like poor, you know, yeah. And now I'm kind of trying to enjoy my money and enjoy my life. And I'm focusing on one thing besides work and keeping myself sober, level-headed, happy. And that's the podcast. You know, yeah. I think I would love for the podcast to blow up in a way that makes it so that my life can accommodate for me. You know, back when I was in like the height of doing comedy, I was doing legit like 12 shows a week. Like I was I was doing two a night, three a night, depending on the day. But let me tell you, I had a mental breakdown, almost fucking lost it because I wasn't sleeping. Yeah. I wasn't doing shit besides working in comedy. And it was just fucking hard. And a lot of people can do that endlessly. And I mean, my circumstances have changed. Like I've had like three people pass away in the past like 6 months in my family, right? And it puts a lot of shit in perspective. And would my career be better if I lived in a city where I could go do 15 nights a week? Yeah. Do I think I would regret making like a career decision in lieu of spending time with my family? Yeah.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
I also have a boyfriend who I'm madly in love with. Mm-hmm. And people want to pretend like that doesn't take up your time. It fucking does. Mm-hmm. And it's like, sure, would I be better off being fucking single and worrying about just my goddamn self? Maybe. But then like 5 years down the line, you have your career, but then mm-hmm. who are you sharing it with? Like, right. And I, you know, it just, life is complicated. Yeah. I'm really happy right now. And I feel like people should follow their bliss. And if you start DJing just for your goddamn self, or you start making music just for yourself, I don't think you have to like dive so deep that it's the only thing that you do. Like just start playing around, you know, even if you're playing around, like I'm just going to write a song and just try to figure some shit out. I think that's like a worthwhile effort.
I like that.
That's a nice wisdom.
I know, because like, I know you're right. I mean, yeah, I feel like even now with like our hustle culture, it's always like what we have to do needs to be monetized, or there needs to like, why am I putting effort into this if not to do something big with it, right? But sometimes you can just do it
capitalism, for fun. The means of production.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You know what, Ella? I love that you're happy. You sound good. You sound like you're doing super well. Not that you didn't last time, but just sharing more about like things that you're doing that you kind of outweigh, right? Like, yeah, I could be in the city, but also like I care about my relationship and I care about my family. And I agree, death puts a lot of things into perspective. I think it reminds you over and over how fragile life is. Quite literally fragile, snap. Mm-hmm. And I think depending on who you are, you may think that, you know, you have a long time and that life is big and it can be, but quite literally it's not. Mm-hmm. And so I really, really appreciate all your wisdom. Seriously. And everything that you shared with us. You really put a lot of things into perspective for me about how I view certain things and really makes me feel like I need to up my empathy and be more open-minded about life and human beings. Cause I don't know, we're babies. We don't have any money. We're trying our best.
Yeah. And Ella, like, I also just appreciate like the wisdom that you bring to your podcast too, because I think that sometimes we just get so caught up in it. And like, you guys can talk about how you get caught up, but then you always have like your reflecting thoughts at the end, which I think is really important to any sort of conversation, right? We can talk about all the stresses, all this stuff, but at the end of the day, like, let's just not leave stress on the table. Let's try to find some resolve the best that we can. And at the end of the day, like, one of my friends was saying, do you ever think about what happens after you die? Like, do you think we go to heaven and stuff? And I was like, I don't. I was like, honestly, because I don't know. The one thing that I always think about is like, what if this is it? What if like there is no afterlife, right? What if like they're just, this is the only thing that we have. So like, what does that mean, right? Like, what if, you know, God came down and said, just kidding. You know, like, actually when you die, like, I'm not taking you nowhere. Mm-hmm. You're going back to where you were before you were born, you know? So I always wonder about that. And yeah, we have to do things to enjoy them because things are going to happen. And like you said, like, if for you, the family thing's important and you don't want to move to a big city, then choose that, because some people find the city life or being separated from their family more important, the growth, and they're willing to take, like, because with me, like, my parents live in Kansas, my mom's like almost 80, so it's just like, that's just like an imminent thing that's in the back of my mind, and I always feel guilty because I'm like, I'm here in California living my life when I could be home, I don't know, with them, you know? So it's just like, it's a weird balance of like, you just have to do at the end of the day what makes you happy. And what makes me happy is being independent and on my own, regardless of like the affection I have for like my family. Like, I need this, because I know if I was in a house with my mom all day, I would absolutely go insane, you know? So I don't know. Any closing thoughts? Anything? Anyone?
Yeah, you know what? It's your life. I don't even know why. I won't say that. I feel like everyone needs to live their own life. I think you got to make the best choices for you. Mm-hmm. And that's different for everybody. And so I never judge what people are doing because it's their life. And I just hope people, you know, would do the same with me, where it's like, you know, she's living her life and she's happy and she's not hurting other people. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's how everyone should live, is like to be happy and to not hurt others.
Love that.
Thank you so much, Ella. Thanks for your time.
Bye. Thank you so much, y'all. Love you. Bye.